lure them. If you are, you need the English service, please use your phone to dial the number offered on the bulletin. Today's topic is worship and connection. Worship and connection. Before we get to that point, we need to think about an important concept. What are we created for? Many people think that after our parents gave us birth, we go to work, we go to school, work, get married, buy a house, have a family, and eventually die and leave the world. If that's all, many people will ask the question, what is the meaning of life? What is the value of a man's life? And we might think we might as well think about this question. Have you ever seen a group of monkeys who gather together to sing and dance to worship God? Probably never. It wasn't possible before in the past. It won't be possible in the future. So, first, we human beings didn't evolve from apes. Second, only humans have the inner desire to worship. I'd like to repeat that again. Among all the things created by God, only humans have the inner desire to worship. So from this, we know that we are created for the purpose of worshiping our Creator. He created us in His image. That means we have a close relationship with the Creator. We are created in His image. So we need to worship this great Creator, our Lord. Through worship, we have a beautiful connection with God. A beautiful connection with God through worship. When we get this idea, we will truly understand the importance of worship. Because the only true God is not only the creator of the whole universe, but also the Lord of all. In other words, only our Lord, sits on His throne, full of authority, majesty, and glory, ruling over all things in the universe. He is the only true God, and He is worthy of our worship. And He is a God who loves us till the end. When we have a proper perspective, we can look at Psalm 138 and get a better sense of what it means. Psalm 138 is a prayer of David. David had a close relationship with God. Lord, I thank you with all my heart because you heard the words that I spoke. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. Why did the psalmist say, I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings? The reason is that back then, there were many other nations who worshipped idols. The psalmist was just praising God in terms of what people at the time understood. In fact, he was trying to show that our Lord is the only true God. May God help us to understand. Let us see verse 2. It says, I will bow down in worship toward your holy temple. I will bow down in worship toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your gracious love and truth. For you have done great things to carry out your word, consistent with your name. Through the words, we know that in the Old Testament, people at that time think highly of worship. They say, I will bow down in worship toward your holy temple. We can see that the psalmist worshiped our great God with utmost reverence. Why do we worship God? Because he's loving and faithful. He gave us a lot of promise. Not only does God give us his promise, but he also carried out his words past all his promise. And of course, God's promise relates to human beings, especially the ancestors of the Israelites, who had experienced so many miracles and wonders from God. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, with a pillar of cloud, the Lord led them by day, and with a pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go. How thoughtful that is. You know what? During the 40 years in the wilderness, their shoes were not worn out. For 40 years, we know that we change our shoes 3 to 5 years. But the Israelites can wear their shoes for 40 years in the wilderness. God did not withhold his food from their mouth, not even one day, and gave them enough water for their thirst. Therefore, they learned to build a tabernacle to worship God when they were still in the wilderness. They know they have to be thankful and worship God. So at that time, the Israelites will worship God in the tabernacle. Later, a magnificent temple was built to worship God. So we know that there's no doubt the created man should come to worship the Lord who has cared for us all the time. As we enter to the New Testament times, it is what we should do as God's children to come to the Church of Christ on Sunday to worship God. Dedicate to the Lord the first day of the 7 days and worship our Lord of grace and love with gratitude. And collective worship is solemn and ceremonious. when we get together to worship God, we have to worship Him with spirit and truth. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, it has been like this all the time. When we reverently treat God as God and worship Him with spirit and truth, our attitudes please the Lord. And the amazing work of the Holy Spirit is often present in the process of worship. Some people find comfort in songs of praise for God. Others find encouragement while listening to the message. And some people feel released in the atmosphere of worshiping. Because when God's word is unraveled, it gives light, and we therefore gain wisdom. So worship is not only about pleasing God, but also about receiving our blessing. We may be set free during worship and be healed both physically and spiritually. And feel the unspeakable warmth and love surrounding them. Because the Holy Spirit is at work among us. The Holy Spirit works inside of ours, in some people, through God's message. So when we gather together in the Church of God on Sunday morning, what we expect the most is to meet with God. Even though God is invisible to the naked eyes, our spirit knows that God is among us and He is pleased. Because God is not of a man. If you agree, amen. May God help us to think highly of worship on Sunday. May all of us come to church a little bit early so brothers and sisters can communicate with each other. Let's continue with Psalm 138, verse 3. It says, "When I called out, you answered me. You strengthened me. You strengthened me." When I called out, you answered me, you strengthened me. We know verse 3 is a prayer of King David. In his cry to God, we see the connection between David and God. When David prayed, God answered his prayer. When I read this verse, I feel touched. We all know that when a couple have a fight, even though you call your wife, she may not answer you. But as Christians, brothers and sisters, we know that God answers every prayer of us. God listens to your prayer. May God help us to practice prayer more to Him. David said, "When I called out, you answer me, you strengthen me." Brothers and sisters and friends, every one of us will encounter trouble and hardship in our life, especially during the past 1 year. Under the pandemic, all of us stay at home and we don't know what to do. We have no hope sometimes. But when we pray to God, God answers our prayer and strengthens us. So God is not far from us, is not far from us in heaven. He is a God of Emmanuel. May God help us understand the connection between worship and prayer. So whenever you are in need, you can always pray to God. You can also ask me to pray for you. We all know that a lot of Christians have experienced God's grace. So, worshiping God is not just about coming to church on Sunday. In a broad sense, worship is a way of life, because we live in the presence of God. Because every day, every minute, we live in the presence of God. So in a broad sense, worship is a lifestyle. As long as we have God in our mind and place Him on the throne of our hearts, whatever we do is done for Him, then our life itself is a kind of worship. To be more specific, since we know God is holy, our life as God's children should be holy too. I'd like to ask you a question. When we are talking about holiness, where does holiness come from? It's from the inner let's start from a pure mind. If a person's inside is clean, his words and actions shown outside will be clean. Only in this way, we will be able to give an account to God. Do you agree? May God help us. In time, we know that in the Church of Christ, not only should we think highly of worship, but also build one another up in the truth of God. We can do this through the opportunity of serving the Lord. Thank God our church is blessed with teams of diverse talent. Everyone knows that teamwork is so important. And we have different teams teams of worship, team of grocery shopping during the pandemic, and team of prayer. So I encourage brothers and sisters bring out their best to serve the Lord. This morning, Sister Denise from Canada played a beautiful song with a piano. So I encourage every one of you, bring your talents to serve the Lord. Which is pleasing to Him. Let's continue with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You too, as living stones, are building yourselves up into a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, so that you may offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus the Messiah. It reminds us that first we need to come to Him. No matter if you worship the Lord at home or in the church, like living stones. Living stones are stones with life. And the living stones were built up into a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. It gives us very beautiful understanding about this. This is consistent with what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says. I therefore urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and pleasing to God, for this is the reasonable way for you to worship. These two words correspond to each other. Here Paul told us to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Living sacrifices are the same as living stones. Living stones and living sacrifices were all built up into a spiritual house. May God help us to serve the Lord actively. And tonight will be the last night of our summer retreat. I encourage you to participate the last two lessons from our guest speaker. And these two speakers are so great. They both talk about connection. As God's children, if you want to be blessed by God, I'll tell you a secret. You need to have a close relationship, connection with God. And you also need to teach your children this. This is the best blessing for your children. As long as you are willing to connect with God and have a good relationship with God and brothers and sisters, and even connect with secret friends, you will be blessed for sure. If you missed the two nights before, I encourage you to participate in tonight's lessons in our summer retreat. Next, let us think about three questions according to the Bible. The first one is, what is the orientation of the church? The second one is, what is the heavenly value? The third question, what is the ecology of discipleship? These three questions are worth reflecting on because they are related to worship. Do you still remember we have shared the message from the book of Hosea? The key verse of book of Hosea is from chapter 6, verse 3. It says, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us know, let us pursue knowledge of the Lord. His coming is as certain as the dawn. He will come to us like the rain, like the autumn and spring rains come on the earth. The first sentence is that let us know, let us pursue knowledge of the Lord. It helps us to understand the orientation of the church today, which is to make the Lord known and worshipped by more people. And brothers and sisters, we can all see the changes happening around at the church. We can see how much land we have outside of our church building, which adds up to almost 10 acres. And do you know we have a parking lot? Do you know what is the capacity of the parking lot? Please tell me. When I first came to our church, someone told me that we have a parking lot with a capacity of more than 200 cars. Do you know how many people can be seated in our church building? 420 people. If one day our parking lot is full and our church is filled with more than 400 people who come to worship and praise our Lord, I think the Lord will be pleased. Will you be happy too? I know that every one of us will be so joyful if that happens. No matter in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it always tells us to bring people to God and made the Lord known to by more people. Do you know the Lord's favorite verb? Come. Yeah. You first need to come, then you can go. There should be an order. Come to me. The Lord says, come to me. First, you need to come and bring your family here. After you come and blessed by God, then you can go invite more friends to our church. From Genesis to Revelation, it has a main theme about this. The Lord is pleased when more people are brought to Him to know Him and worship Him. If you're familiar with the books in the Old Testament, you know, people at that time worship different kind of idols. They are not God. They're fake gods. I believe that with the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance, one day our church will be filled with more than 400 people, and our parking lot will be full. As you already know that we have so many so wonderful equipment for our worship and those kids. Next we need to invite more people to God. Go invite more friends to our church. Bring them to the Lord. The second question is, what is the heavenly value? The Bible tells us that all the work we do on earth for God's kingdom has heavenly value and will last forever. It will last forever. So your service, no matter in what position, is meaningful and valuable. As long as we love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength, your service will be remembered. I encourage you to serve the Lord more. Those who love God will surely act. Will God be pleased with your service? Of course, the answer is yes. Moreover, when we love one another and cooperate with one another in our family, more people will be attracted to our church, and they will find that the people here are different. That's their true feeling. The people in the church are different. They're so friendly. Not like people in society outside the church. A lot of them wear masks. But people here, they're willing to help. Why can they tell the difference? Because there is a pleasing aroma of Christ in your life. You cannot pretend. It's an automatic. It's the atmosphere in our church is so friendly, and they will feel comfortable in our church and feel relaxed here. And they can also have a lunch here, and they can talk during lunchtime. May God help us to have this kind of understanding. And all these help us to make others feel different. And the third question is, what is the ecology of discipleship? Simply speaking, it is to procreate and nourish. That means the disciples make more disciples. Just as the Apostle Paul helped the young Timothy grow up and then asked Timothy to make more disciples. Paul encouraged Timothy constantly, strengthened his faith, and taught him not to look down upon himself because he was young. In fact, Paul not only trained Timothy, he also trained many other fellow workers. And he also encouraged other fellow workers to train more disciples. In the same way, today's churches need to continue to train and make more disciples of Jesus. But there is a one thing of vital importance in discipleship. We must all work together to build the Church of Christ. The key point cannot be overlooked. For Satan, our enemy, will surely come and destroy the unity of the church. He always wants to do that. He wants to destroy the unity of the church, unity of a family, unity of a society. As long as we work together and have faith, we will build the Church of Christ. If you agree, please say amen. So, from these three aspects, the orientation of church, the heavenly value, and the ecology of discipleship, we notice that they all relate to our topic, worship and connection. You can see how important it is to worship God. And then there's what few people have ever thought about. When we come to see the Lord, there will be no need to preach the gospel in heaven. For there will already be a new heaven and new earth. We will live in the beautiful new holy city of Jerusalem. But worship of God goes on forever and ever in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? There will be no need for spreading the gospel. But worship of God goes on forever and ever. The great choir of thousands of people in heaven singing the most beautiful songs in praise of our Lord. And there are all kinds of testimonies of the grace of God. So we will be not bored in heaven. What a spectacle. No wonder in Revelation chapter 5, verse 4, it says, let us read together. Lord, who won't fear and praise your name? For you alone are holy, and all the nations will come and worship you, because your judgments have been revealed. Let us read this verse again, loudly. Lord, who won't fear and praise your name? For you alone are holy, and all the nations will come and worship you because your judgments have been revealed. Brothers and sisters, here and at home, one day all knees shall bow down to the Lord, because Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, and he raised 3 days later. He promised that he will return one day. We all know that there are 66 books in our Bible, and 65 books have been the history. It already happened. And all of us now is living in the book of the 66 book, Revelation. So all of us must cherish our time. Don't waste time anymore. We need to have a good relationship with God, with your family members. And we need to serve the Lord and spread the gospel fervently. We need to regularly worship the Lord. Today's topic is worship and connection. I don't know if you have a beautiful connection with the Lord. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you. Not only shall we come to the church to worship you on Sunday, we also need to remember that